Heavenly Father, please will you help us to put aside unhelpful thoughts now, to concentrate on your word, and please may it change our hearts to live for you. Amen.
2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers, for you in their hearts will go out to you. Because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chloe. Thank you, everybody. I hope you've got your passage open in your Bibles, on your phones, wherever it is, or maybe on the text on the sheets in front of you. It's lovely to be with you. It's lovely to be in person. We're praying for all those on Zoom that you'll enjoy hearing God's word taught as well. We are going to share the Lord's Supper afterwards. So maybe as part of your response to what is said, enjoying the bread and the wine and thinking, how does this gift from God of Jesus change the way I think and apply what I've heard would be a great thing to do. Let me pray for us as we come to the sermon. Oh, kids, time for you guys. There is Scramblers and First Steps group. And Trekkers, it's time for you guys to leave. Before I pray, why don't you head off? Wonderful. Andy's setting them off, and Julia's setting them off. And they're heading in two different directions, I think. I hope you're going to find some shade. Yeah. Well done, Levi, and who's that? Beth, is that David, Johnny. They're going in two different directions. Well done, everybody. Hope you have a lovely time. All right, let me pray for us as we come to 2 Corinthians 9. Our Father, in your kindness, help us to trust you and know how to serve. Help us to apply what we're hearing with your help. Amen. If you throw a stone into a pond, what do you get? A wet stone, yes. What do you get on the surface of the pond?
A ripple.
Yes, you get the actions have consequences. Throw something in a pond, you get ripples. All right. If you plant a sunflower seed, what might you get? If it works, you might get one sunflower. If you plant hundreds and hundreds and thousands of sunflower seeds, what might you get? Thank you, Ted. Hundreds and thousands of sunflowers. I've seen them, fields full of sunflowers. Who's seen a whole field full of sunflowers? Yeah, you all have. That's beautiful, isn't it? It's because they planted huge numbers of seeds. Farmers know that they reap what they sow. If you don't sow very many seeds, you won't get a very big harvest. So what has that got to do with today's talk? Well, Paul has been writing to the church in Corinth about their collection of money to give to other Christians in need. He's been really, really encouraging about how they started off. And this letter is to help them finish, to get the collection gathered in and then delivered. The main thing he's done is remind them of Jesus. He said, "You give because of Jesus, knowing he who was rich became poor, so that you who are poor in your sin and in your rebellion against God might become rich, forgiven, and right with God." You give because of Jesus. And now we get to the very practical bit of his instruction about giving. And he says just two main things. Give for your own sake and give for God's sake. Give for your own sake. That's a surprising heading, isn't it? Well, it is amazing. Look at verse 6. Remember this, he says. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Sparingly means thinly or sparsely or not very much. If you sow just a few sunflowers, you're only going to get a few sunflowers. But if you sow generously, verse 6, you will reap generously. He's talking about there being something very practical and logical and down to earth when it comes to your giving. Sow generously for your own sake, because you will reap generously. What you get in return will be generous as well. Now, he isn't talking about sunflower seeds, and he's not actually talking about actual money either, I think. He's talking about the blessings God gives. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. So if you sow generously, I think it means this: God will sustain you in enjoying and serving others in the Christian life. He'll keep you going, glad to play your part, living a life full of meaning and purpose. So do you sow generously? Verse 10, Paul says that God is the one who gave you the means to give in the first place. He's the one who supplies the seed. So just give some of what he's given you, and he will increase your harvest of righteousness. Or look at verse 11. You sow generously and you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. Now, I understand a harvest of sunflower seeds, and you sow lots and you get lots. I think I understand what a financial return is. If you invest lots of money, you have a chance to make lots of money. But this isn't that. This is a harvest of righteousness. That's probably a number of things. To the generous giver, God gives a harvest of righteousness. Now, that at least means assurance. Assurance that you are loved by God and are abiding in him no matter what happens in your life. That's part of righteousness, is being assured before God. It's a precious gift to have. It's not something to lose. If you have known someone who's lost their sense of assurance, their sense of being loved by God, and they wonder if they can ever be close to God again, you know how important your assurance is. Well, God says there is assurance to be had as a gift from God, as part of what it comes with generous giving. I would be surprised to find someone who isn't a believer giving generously to Christian work. There's no incentive to. It's Christians who give. One of the joys of being a Christian is to have a great goal for all the hard work you do to earn money, and that's to invest in God's kingdom, God's gospel workers, Bible teachers, Bible colleges, people who go and share their lives with others about Jesus, those who don't know about him, even in other countries. And when you give, there's a sense of being involved in God's greater plan, his bigger purpose. You're part of his team. When you give, being a Christian stops just being a private thing. So do you want assurance? Well, who doesn't? We all do. Paul says there is a harvest of righteousness to be had by the generous giver. Look at verse 7, though. Paul is careful to close off one loophole. Don't think this is about your salvation. You can't buy being saved. No, the rescue comes first. Believers give what they've decided in their hearts to give. They don't give reluctantly or because someone tells them they must. No, they choose to because they want to. And I love the end of verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. So what's a cheerful giver? Is it someone who looks at their savings and says, all I have is from God. He's given me life and hope and forgiveness and an eternal future, so I can use some of this money to help others to find that too. And they take some of it and they put it in an envelope and they see that it goes to God's work through the local church or other Christian organizations. And they do it happily, with a sense of partnering with others. Now, if that's not a habit, can I encourage you to try and see what the joy of giving is like? Use something that's yours. You could spend it on you. You could have spa days just for yourself. But you choose to give it away or spend it on someone else. That's a mirror of what Jesus did for us. So it's no wonder Christians love to give. They're only following their Saviour. The world says, get all you can. God and the Bible says, give all you can. Save it up, keep it for yourself and your family, says the world. That's the way to be secure and happy. Give it away. That's the way to have a harvest of righteousness, says God. So how is God going to supply the financial needs for the work he wants to get done in the world? How is God going to give money so that people can do gospel work? He's only going to do it through the giving of Christians like you and me. People like you and me taking from our own money and giving it to churches and charities. That's how God has planned it to happen. He doesn't just magic money out of thin air. He puts it in our hearts to be generous with what we've got because he's been generous with us. And the exciting part when I give money away is seeing how wonderfully God provides more. When our heart's desire is to cheerfully give, God loves to supply us with the money to give. Do you see, God has built into his world a joy to be had from giving generously that those who give generously get to experience. Do you know that joy of giving? If you're thinking, well, if I give £100 this week, that's £100 I won't have to spend on me next week. But you're forgetting God loves a cheerful giver. Look at verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times you'll have all that you need. You won't miss out if you give. Surprisingly, perhaps, then, the first reason in this chapter Paul says to give generously is that it'll be good for you. God loves a cheerful giver. Can I see, or can I challenge you to see if you can out-give God? Okay, I think that's a futile challenge. You can't. God is the generous giver. He will always outgive you. I know what God gives you will always cover anything you give away. So give, for your own sake. Secondly, give for God's sake. It's there in verses 12 to 15. Look at the end of verse 11. What's your generosity going to result in? Three times he says it. Verse 11, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. You supplying the needs of the Lord's people is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And verse 12, because of what you've given, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. So you see, when Christians give, needs are met, the gospel is spread, and the result is God is praised. Giving brings God praise and honour. So give for God's sake. I almost expect every Christian here, at least in part, owe your life in Christ to other Christians, having given money to make it happen. Can you spend a moment now just thinking about it? You'll have heard the gospel at school or at university or at church from a youth worker or a student worker or from a minister or a speaker or at an event. And all of them were able to give time and effort to the task because of the generous giving of believers like you and me to set them aside to get trained and to teach the Bible, to do pastoral studies, to do missionary training. That all happens because of the generous giving of Christians. So who would be on your list that you thank God for when it comes to your coming to faith or growing in faith? Taking the focus off Christchurch, South Camps for a moment, can you think of people who gave money to go and be leaders at summer camps? Not free, they pay for those places. They give up their holidays to go and be leaders on summer camps so that they could teach young people the Bible. Some of you may have been volunteers. You weren't being paid to do that. You were giving up time to serve, so there was generosity there. Who told you the gospel? Can you think? Maybe spend a moment, perhaps in your little groups, mentioning some names. Share with the person sitting next to you, who was the youth worker, the pastoral worker, the leader, the teacher, the Bible teacher, the youth worker? Who's taught you the gospel? Just share their names, just for a minute, and tell the people sitting next to you something about them. That's your challenge. Think about the people who told you the gospel and share their names, and then give thanks to God for them. I'm going to stop for a minute. Do that at home as well. Who told you the gospel? Share their names. So I hope you've thanked God for those people and for those who gave money to set them aside if they were paid or gave their time themselves. I thank God for William, the guy who wrote to me after summer camps, and he came and visited me at school. He encouraged me over the phone when I was a young Christian in the army. When I first met him, he was training to be a vicar in the Church of England. He could do that because generous Christians had given money towards his training. I thank God for them, because their giving set him free to be a full-time gospel minister who taught me about Jesus. Now, your giving sets me free, full-time. Louise and Alice, 2 days a week in term time. Flo, 3.5 days to do personal work, pastoral work. Isn't it wonderful? I trust you thank God for these workers. And you enjoy the partnership in the gospel you have with them by paying for their time to do that. Your giving also contributes to Tim Jenkins, working as a recruiter for OMF, finding people to go and serve overseas in countries where they can share the hope they have with others. I hope you enjoy your partnership with Living Word Uganda, training up men and women to teach the Bible in East Africa. There are people who this Sunday will hear a sermon in Uganda, or anywhere else in East Africa, actually, trained by Living Word Uganda. Those Living Word Uganda trainees, whom you've helped to pay for, are handling the Bible well because you put aside money to get them trained. Thanks will be given to God for your generosity. Do you see the link? God gets the glory, and he is honored when we give to gospel work. So don't just give for your own sake. Give for God's sake. And just in case you start thinking that giving is just something Christians do for their own or for God's sake, Paul rounds off this section with verse 15. Just read it to yourselves. What does verse 15 say? It says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." I'm going to try and describe God's indescribable gift. I won't do a very good job of it. You could probably do it better yourself. What is the gift that is so great, so huge, so amazing, so wonderful that none of us could have enough money or time to pay God back. What has God done for us that is so undeserved by us, so generous of him, that there aren't words to fully describe it? He has given us Jesus. The one who left heaven, became one of us, lived a perfect life, died a death he didn't deserve, to take the penalty that we do, so that we might be set free to give God the glory by our lives. God gave us Jesus. He is God's indescribable gift. He is our Redeemer. We owe him everything. And it'll be on account of him that Christians will cheerfully, wonderfully, generously keep giving. So press on, dear brothers and sisters. Why not, as we come to the Lord's Supper later, take a moment not only to remember Jesus' gift to you, but consider how you might address your giving for your own sake and for God's sake. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, help us to overcome our reticence in talking about and thinking about money. We praise you that in one sense you've put money in the world to make it go round, but there is an opportunity for us as we handle money, as we receive it for work we do, as we give it in thanks to you for gospel work. We are part of your grand plan for equipping gospel partners around the world. Help us to be cheerful, willing, generous givers. Not compelled, but because we've chosen in our heart to give. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.